And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the movie reviews with Cruella. Emma Stone stars as a misfit petty criminal trying to find a way into the mod fashion world of London in the late 1960s.
From the very beginning, I realized I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho. I am woman. Hear me roar.
I say 1960s. The press release says the 70s, but when you listen to some of the dialogue in this movie and you look at some of the contemporary clues, pretty sure this takes place back in the 1960s. That's especially when the mod scene was getting ground in London. Disney has been doing this since the 90s, where they've made live-action versions of their cartoons. And this goes back to the 101 Dalmatians movie they made with Glenn Close. Then Disney kind of had a reboot of this concept in around 2010 or so, because that's when they did like a live action Cinderella and they did a live action Beauty and the Beast and, well, live action Lion King. It was photorealistic CGI, but it looks live action. Live action Aladdin. And it's also kind of jumping along the sidelines with the Maleficent movie, which are taking these characters, these well-known villains, the Disney villains, and giving them a backstory and putting them as the unlikely protagonist. Now, I thought that worked really, really well with Maleficent, because she basically did it as saying, hey, the winners tell the story, and this is my side of the story, and Sleeping Beauty's dad wasn't as good as they make him out to be in that original movie you watched. And so they're trying to do the same thing with Cruella de Vil. And if you look at this as just the origin of a Disney character, of this bad, mean, at times crazy woman who has had a rough and tumble childhood but is just there to protect herself, it works. And Emma Stone is fantastic in it. Emma Thompson, by the way, who plays the evil fashion designer who runs the show, in sort of this Devil Wears Prada kind of story where Cruella is trying to become a fashionista, but she's working for an overbearing boss. Emma Thompson does a great job in that role. The other thing, this movie is beautiful to look at. It has gorgeous production design. It has some incredible effects. It has amazing costuming. I mean, this is a lavish production. And like I said, the acting's really good as well. You know, I mean, particularly by Emma Stone and Emma Thompson, they sort of hold the show together. And I like what she does with the character. I like how they give an idea, because you always want to wonder where, you know, an innocent little child, how that innocent little child gets corrupted to become the villain that we know. I mean, that's essentially going to Star Wars, what the appeal was of, at least the attempt of the prequels, was to show how Darth Vader became this evil Darth Vader. When it comes to Cruella, I think Emma Stone does a great job with it. I think the movie is put together very, very well. When I say I'm not sure who this movie's for, because I saw somebody on Twitter complaining that I hear a lot of male critics saying they don't know who this movie's for. No, I know who this movie seems to be for. It seems to be for young girls who are interested in fashion. But here's the thing. You can't make a $200 million movie out of that. And that's my one big concern on this movie is, at the end of the day, it's a movie about a woman trying to work her way up in the nail-biting world of fashion, which that's going to leave like 60% of the audience at home. Because there's a lot of people who are like, well, I don't want to see a movie about fashion, even as cool as this movie is. So I think that this is a kind of a hard sell. Add to the fact that it's a PG-13 movie, and I didn't see anything overly violent or disturbing that happens, but it gets a PG-13 rating, which will cut out the younger audience, because there's a lot of parents who'll choose not to show that. And so I think that that's something to caution people on if this does not come back with massive box office, because it's not a movie for everybody. You have to have an interest in fashion, or at least not be turned off by fashion. You have to be into that sort of cattiness of two women fighting in the workplace. Don't think too much about it, because at some point you get to the end of this film and you think, what happens between now, where I like this character, And in so many years, she turns into a villain who wants to slaughter puppies. I mean, I know that there's a camp appeal to Cruella de Vil, but in terms of the Disney villain, she's one of the most villainous. I mean, at least, you know, somebody like, you know, Maleficent is, you know, she's about control of the region and the world and the woods and, you know, battling kingdoms, basically. Snow White's, that woman's just trying to keep her own section of the inheritance, so to speak. Cruella de Vil just wants to make a coat out of puppies. And I don't know how you ever get to that situation and still make that an appealing character. But, you know, we'll see if enough people can divorce themselves from that concept. Because overall, I mean, Cruella is a fantastically beautiful piece and very interesting as well. So I'm going to have to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Panic. This series on Amazon Prime follows a group of high school graduates who play a dangerous game for a chance to win a pot of money that will allow them to escape the town.
There was a game. It's called Panic.
This year, the winner's gonna take home $50,000.
Each year, there are new players. New challenges.
You don't need Panic to go to college.
Yeah, I do.
You could actually win.
Just be careful.
Last year, this game put two of our kids in the ground, and someone's gonna pay.
Guys?
Starting.
This is another teen-centric series. Now, it doesn't have a magical element to it. I was talking about a lot of them that I've been seeing on Netflix show up lately. This one's certainly directed at teens, and it's based on a best-selling book. I'm not the target market for this. I'm well beyond my teens. Well, the other thing with this series is it just, everything's a cliche in this. You've got this small town and it's full of cliches because the girl is stuck there with the white trash mother who steals her money and she feels she can never escape. And everybody's stuck and all she needs is this $50,000 prize. They have this elaborate game set up every year that they have this pot of money kids can win, but they do these dangerous challenges, kind of like Fear Factor, only where you could really die. And apparently in the series, the previous year, a couple kids did die because they were like walking into traffic blindfolded. Those are the kind of things, I mean, incredibly dangerous stuff to the point that they actually have a disclaimer before the series when you watch it. But the problem is this contest that the kids do is so elaborate and has so many people involved. And it's kind of adorable to watch this show and to think anybody can keep any of that under wraps. Have you ever tried to plan a surprise birthday party? I mean, these are teenagers, and you've got an entire class of teenagers, and nobody's blabbing. I'm sorry, that's impossible. They have, like, a sheriff's office is trying to find out where these events are taking place, and they're setting off fireworks and cheering, and they got cars, and they got beer, and they've taken over entire areas of farmland, and somehow they're not able to track this down. It's absurd at a level that it just doesn't hold together. It's a house of cards, and if you think too much about it, it falls apart. Now, if you go in with blinders and you just say, okay, I'm going to not question anything, maybe the series works, but the characters are very cardboard cutout. I'm not a big fan of this, so I'm going to have to say Panic kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about A Quiet Place Part 2 and Launchpad.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college. Or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college, while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.